A couple of weeks ago, somebody in home group said they would like, actually several folks said they'd like to know how to evangelize people and what do we say and how do we say it and how do you pray for somebody to be saved? What scriptures do you show them? That kind of thing. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at what is evangelism and how should we evangelize? How do you lead somebody to the scriptures of salvation? And then how do you pray a sinner's prayer with them? And then what do you do after that? I think we all feel some obligation to share our faith with others. We feel like it's part of our faith to need to share our faith, to be able to evangelize, bring people into the kingdom of God. And yet, most of us don't know exactly how to do that. I mean, we have these great benefits being in the kingdom of God. We have miracles working around our lives. We are healed. We're set free from the devil. We're able to run the enemy off and keep him out of our children and out of our homes and things like that. And it's a good thing to be in the kingdom of God. So we want to tell other people about it. We want to let folks know what it means to be in the kingdom of God, but you got to know how to do that. So how do we evangelize? I believe that if you surveyed Christians, you'd discover that most Christians say, yes, I have some kind of obligation. I should be evangelizing people. I should be telling people about Jesus, about God, something. I shouldn't be keeping it all to myself. Turn to Matthew 28:18. We have been brought into the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he was on this earth, the Bible talks about how he proclaimed the good news. And then when we see what that meant, when we look at what was he doing when he was proclaiming the good news or the gospel, he was telling people, hey everybody, the kingdom of God is here and you can come into it. You can be part of it. And oh, by the way, let me show you what it's like in the kingdom of God. And then he would heal people and he would cast out devils and he would say, see, it's a good thing to be in the kingdom of God. There are benefits that come with being in the kingdom of God. And we've all experienced that. We've experienced healings. We've experienced financial miracles. We've experienced miracles in relationships. I mean, we've experienced great things because we're walking in the kingdom of God. We're following the principles, at least the best we can, of the kingdom of God. And it's a cool place to be. It's, you know, if you start being part of some social organization and you like it, you tell your friends about it, right? Oh yeah, I just started playing racquetball. Oh man, that's so much fun. You ought to come play racquetball or tennis or golf or go to the gym. I've started working out at the gym. Man, this is a great place. Why don't you come with me? That's how we are, right? That's how we need to be with the kingdom of God. But sometimes we get a little shy or think, well, I'm not sure I know how to do that. Well, we're going to talk about that. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, some of the last words on earth of Jesus were, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. When he says go therefore, he means I am now delegating that authority to you to operate in. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So Jesus commands us to make disciples. If for no other reason we should want to tell people about the kingdom of God, bring people into the kingdom of God, make disciples. A disciple is someone who is learning about whatever the teaching is, learning about Jesus. We should want people to do that if for no other reason than just out of gratitude because of what God's done for us. Man, I'm so happy about what God's done for me. Just to say thank you, Lord, I'm going to tell somebody else. tell somebody else how good it is, okay? But what does it mean to proclaim the good news? What is evangelism? How do you get people saved? Is it just getting people to pray the sinner's prayer? I've had friends, preachers primarily, evangelists, whose singular mission in life, I mean, besides staying alive from one day to the next, you know, the next important mission in life for them was to get people to pray the sinner's prayer with them. And I mean, when you talk with them, it was all about getting people saved. Oh yeah, I like to go out to eat breakfast, and I like to go to a different place every time because I want to be able to meet the different waitresses and tell them about Jesus and see if I can get them to pray the sinner's prayer. And then they usually have a story about yesterday or last week or something. They were at IHOP on Woodlawn, and sure enough, the waitress there, they told them about Jesus, and she prayed the sinner's prayer with them. And as far as they're concerned, every time someone prays the sinner's prayer, they're coming into the kingdom of God, and that's all they need to worry about. Okay, my mission is done. Off to the next one. Is that the way we ought to be? Matter of fact, how many of you would be comfortable doing that? Well, most folks aren't, are we? I mean, I'm glad there are people like that, but most of us just don't feel real comfortable about that. I can remember a few years ago, I was a counselor for a Billy Graham crusade. Now, what a counselor means is that when Billy Graham comes to town and has a crusade, they have people from Christians from various churches that when they start doing the altar call and people start coming down, the counselors come down too. And so if someone comes down to accept Jesus as their Savior, well, then I might stand beside them and pray the sinner's prayer with them, help them, get to know them, help them fill out a little card that says, you know, they've come to know the Lord. And then my job was to follow up with them. And I ended up praying with a couple of people, but I ended up getting some cards from others as well that didn't have counselors, and so I followed up with them. And of all the people that filled out cards during that crusade, there was only one of them that would talk to me more than twice. Most of them wouldn't talk to me at all. They weren't interested. Well, I filled out the card, but I'm not interested in going to church or anything like that. Okay. Matter of fact, a year later, I followed up with some of those folks, and one of the things I heard was, that Christianity stuff. Yeah, I tried that about a year ago, and it didn't work for me. I don't think I'm interested. Thank you. See, and I almost began to wonder, well, gosh, I wonder if they'd have been better off not praying the sinner's prayer if in that kind of sterile environment where there was nothing really to involve them then in the kingdom of God, you know? And even the one guy that would talk to me a little bit more, he only talked to me a couple of times, and then after that, he wasn't interested. I had a real experience, but I'll just serve God on my own. Well, you know what? Most people can't do that. I can remember times when we have prayed with neighbors, or one time you were in the hospital and prayed with a bedmate, Debbie, and she accepted the Lord, and when we tried to follow up with her after the hospital visit, after a couple of times, we would go to her house, and they would play like nobody was home. You know, they wouldn't open the door. So, you know, so just praying the sinner's prayer with someone, I don't think is enough. That doesn't seem to be enough anyway. So it's not just getting people to the place they're ready to come into the kingdom of God. You know, we need to bring them, I think, into the kingdom of God. Yes, we need to pray the sinner's prayer with them. We need to be praying with them and for them. We need to get them baptized. We need to help them become part of a believing community. We need to help them have friends in the community. We need to help them learn how to serve God. That's part of it. Now, there are some churches that have a doctrine that says, and there are different people have various views of this, even in some of these churches. And the doctrine is this. Once someone prays the sinner's prayer and means it, then no matter what they do the rest of their life, they're still saved. They're still going to go to heaven. And so even if they serve the devil the rest of their life, they're still going to go to heaven. Well, some folks say, well, this, maybe it's not quite that easy. And I have priests in the CEC friends that I have a couple of them that we could argue both sides of that till the cows come home and never get any resolution. But it's almost like a convenient doctrine to say, well, if I can get this guy here to pray the sinner's prayer with me, then I don't need to worry about him after that. And all I need to do is go find the next person to pray the sinner's prayer, because once he comes in the kingdom, then he's safe from hell for the rest of his life. And I'm not sure it's quite that easy either. You know, I think it may be difficult for us to backslide, but I think it's possible for us to backslide and for us to decide we just don't want to serve God. And it's a whole lot easier for folks to do that if they're not surrounded by other believers, if they don't have friends, if they don't have folks that encourage them to stay in the kingdom of God. You know, when we come into the kingdom of God, we're going to have good things happen to us, and we're going to have lots of benefits, but we're going to have hard times too. There's going to be difficult things happen. And we need people around us to help us get through those hard times and to encourage us. We all need a support system. I heard an advertisement on the radio for a product to help folks quit smoking. And you know how our litigious society is now. You can't have an advertisement without having about 10 seconds of real fast disclaimers. Somebody's reading all the disclaimers. And one of the disclaimers was that this product works, but it really almost only works if you have a good support system to go along with it. In other words, the idea is, yes, there's a drug that can help you stop smoking, but if you don't have people around you to help encourage you and to help support you in this process, you may not be able to stop. I think all of life is like that for all of us, at least at different times. Now, we don't all need everybody's support all the time, but I mean, we go through times. I've watched this happen to people. They'll come into the kingdom of God. They'll be serving God great. They'll be serving God for a year or so, and the first difficult time comes, the first test comes, and they're gone because they won't receive help. They won't receive support. They won't let anybody near or into their circle. I think that's an important part of, if we're going to evangelize folks, there's more to it than just bringing them into the kingdom of God or encouraging them when the times are good. We've got to make sure that we're there when the times are hard. We've got to make sure that we're part of their lives so that we can help them stay where the Lord wants them to be. Now, turn with me to Acts 1, chapter 8. Acts 1, 8. This proclaiming the gospel, this telling the good news, there are several times in the New Testament it's referred to as being a witness. Have you ever heard anybody say, give me a witness, somebody give me a witness? What they mean is somebody agree with me. Well, sometimes when we think about evangelism, we're thinking about a fiery preacher that's spitting and jumping around and hollering about how good Jesus is and you need to come to know the Lord. And a friend of mine last week, he wouldn't come to know the Lord. And then on the way home from church that night, he got run over by a train, and don't let that happen to you. And, you know, that's what we think of. Boy, a preacher's fiery and tells all the right stories and stuff. And then I could never do that, so I can't win anybody to the Lord. Well, I think Jesus made it real clear. He said, all I want you guys to do is be witnesses of what you've seen, what I have done on this earth, you apostles, disciples, and stuff. You just tell other people what that was. And I think that continues on now. And Jesus is saying, whatever I have done in your life, just be a witness to that. Just let somebody else know. In a way, you know, don't be afraid to let them know. Just, you don't have to be religious. You don't have to start hollering at them and thump your Bible. You know, just tell them in your own words what God's doing for you. Well, here in Acts 1 in verse 8, We see that terminology being used. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, Jesus is saying here, I want you to be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You're going to be a witness to what I've done everywhere. But there was one little stipulation. Did you catch that in the first part? But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. See, he's saying, you guys aren't quite ready to be witnesses yet. You need more than just a knowledge of what I've done. You need more than just the experiences of what has happened to me. You're going to need to be anointed to do this. You're going to need to have some power to be my witness. Why would we need the Holy Spirit? Why would he tell them to wait until the Holy Spirit had come upon them? That's what he told them to do in another spot. Why would he say that? Why would he want them to wait for the Holy Spirit of power to be poured out on them? Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. One is what I call miracle evangelism. And the other is, well, I'll get to the other one in a minute. The first one is miracle evangelism. Turn to Luke 5. And I want to challenge you to be willing to do this. Maybe not all the time, but occasionally, when the Lord leads, of course. In Luke 5, starting in verse 17, it says, "And it came about one day that he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal." So there's a lot of Pharisees, religious leaders, teachers, etc. have come. "And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. And not finding any way to get through the crowd, they went up on the roof, they pulled up some tiles off the roof, and they actually let this guy's stretcher down right in the center of the roof, which happened to be right in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.'" Now, as soon as he said that, the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of the day, go, "What did he say?" They began to say amongst themselves and reason together, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies?" You know, like, "I can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone," they're saying. "But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered them and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your heart like this? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk?'" Now listen to this next verse. "But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, take up your stretcher, and go home.' And at once the man got up, took up his stretcher, the bed that he was lying on, and he went home glorifying God. All were seized with astonishment, glorifying God, and talking about the miraculous things they'd seen that day." Jesus said, "I'm going to do this so that I can show you the power of God. So you can't say, 'I've never seen anything like that.' So that you can't say, 'Oh, this is just about some man. Oh, this is just about some new philosophy that is coming along.'" Jesus said, "I want to show you this." And there are a lot of scriptures that talk about attesting miracles or talk about Jesus doing things so that people would believe or so that people would know that he's the Son of God. I know some evangelists that primarily travel around the world doing crusades, big crusades around the world. And the way God works with them is before they start preaching each night, the first thing that happens is God heals somebody. And it's usually something remarkable. It's somebody that's crippled. It's somebody that is blind. It's somebody that the community knows that's really obviously sick. and God heals them, and it just electrifies the crowd. And all of a sudden, when he starts preaching and saying, now let me tell you about this Jesus that did that, boy, these folks are listening. I remember one time in Mexico, we were walking along some street in a village, I believe it was, and there was an old man, and he was all crippled like this, and he was bent way over, and he could just barely get along, and little guy. And we came up to him and said, you know, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loves you. Jesus is God, and he wants to heal you. And this guy goes, he does? He loves me? Yeah, and he wants to heal you, show you that he loves you. He does? I said, yeah, he does. He said, would it be okay if we pray for you? Oh, yeah, sure. And so we just prayed for him, laid hands on him, and prayed for him a short prayer. And I'm telling you, the guy began to straighten up. And within about a minute, he was completely straight, and he was wiggling around, and he was moving and praising God. Do you want to come to know Jesus? Would you like to know this God that healed you? Oh, yes. Tell me how to know Jesus. And so we brought that guy to the Lord. That was an example of miracle evangelism. Now, unfortunately, here in the United States, when you see somebody that's sick, if you went up to them and said, would you like to know about Jesus and how he loves you, would like to heal you, they go, I know about him. Nah, don't bother. I'm not interested. Well, would you like me to pray for you so you can get well? No, Wednesday night, we were meeting with a Kenyan pastor that came over. It's here in the United States preaching at different churches. And that was one of the things that astonished him. He said, you know, I just don't understand it. There are a lot of people that are really sick, and you ask them, can I pray for you? And they say, no, they don't want to be prayed for. They don't want that stuff. He said, I don't understand that. I just can't believe that. I said, get used to it, son. You're here in the United States now. People's hearts have been hardened here. It's sad, but true. Yeah. I mean, I'll just go to the doctor. Well, yeah, but what happens when that doesn't work? Haven't you been to the doctor? Well, yeah. How are you doing with that? Well, it's not working so good, but, you know, no, I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want any of that God stuff around me. Okay, well, you can't do anything with that. You know, you're not going to have any. Yeah? Yeah, that's the way I feel. Somebody said, you want to pray for me? Yeah, go for it, man. I can take all the prayer I can get, man. Debbie and I have done this lots of times where because people are seeing miracles in their lives, they have come to know the Lord. And this is what Jesus is talking about in Mark chapter 16. Here we've got kind of a different vantage point of these last words of Jesus, the Great Commission, we sometimes call it. Mark remembered some things that Matthew didn't write down. And he says, go into the world and proclaim the good news to all creatures. Okay, we've got that. We know we're supposed to be doing that. He who has believed and been baptized will be saved. He who has disbelieved will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. He's talking about all of us believers can operate in these signs, with these wonders, these miracles can follow after us. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. It's okay for us to do miracle evangelism, and we've done that at times, where our friends or our neighbors see God working in our lives. We're just being a witness. Well, you know, we're having a real difficult time with this stupid car because the air conditioner's died, so we're praying over it that God heals it. And they look at us like we are crazy. And yet, a week later, when we tell them, you know what, that car is working. Come on, let me take you for a ride and feel how cold the air is blowing. God healed that car. And they go for a ride and say, oh, okay, well, maybe there's something to this God stuff. You know? Or whatever else is going on. I need a job. You pray for them, and the next day they get a job. You know, that kind of the kinds of things where folks all of a sudden begin to understand, yes, God is alive and well and at work in this world. They begin to see the miracles. They become hungry. And you don't have to go, well, you know, you're just an old sinner, and so until you've prayed the sinner's prayer with me, well, I don't think I'm going to pray anything for you. I've heard preachers preach that. There's only one prayer that a sinner can pray, and that is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, I beg to differ, man. I have watched too many folks that aren't serving God be in a place where God is answering their prayers, where you pray with them and God starts answering their prayers, God starts answering our prayers for them, and pretty soon they're saying, how is it that I can serve this God that you serve? I want whatever it is that you have. That's what I need in my life. It's called miracle evangelism. It's okay to do that. We have to be bold and unashamed as we witness about what God has done to us, and then we have to love them enough to truly care about them. This is not Amway, where we're trying to build our business, you know, and everybody's the mark, and who cares, just as long as you become part of my under, you know, whatever, and build, help me build my business. We're not doing that. We love people. Our heart is broken to see folks who are stumbling around in life with their eyes closed, not knowing why they're getting hurt and why everything bad is happening to them. We know why that kind of stuff is happening. We can help them. We ought to have enough compassion to be willing to do that, to be willing to make the offer, to be at least willing to give them the chance to say, no, man, I'm not interested in that stuff. Okay. You're not interested. Okay, well, I'll go on to somebody. I'll still love you. I'm still going to care about you. I'm still going to pray for you. I'm still going to be a friend. If we start with that place, then we have at least some chance of bringing those folks into the kingdom of God. And we'll talk next week about John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, no man comes to know Jesus or comes into the kingdom of God without being drawn or wooed by the Father. And talk about that method of evangelism. And then we're going to talk about how do you take people through the scriptures? How do you pray the sinner's prayer with somebody? We'll look at the Roman road, I call it. I think that's a very convenient way to bring people to the Bible that say, I have an interest in serving God. We can say, okay, let me show you these scriptures about what God says about this and how easy this process is. And the Word of God is very powerful. It really touches people's hearts. And so we'll talk more about that and how to do that next week, and hopefully finish up next week.